Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Many years ago, when I was in college, I worked sometimes at a lumber yard making deliveries and selling things in the shop there in Ocean Springs. And there was a customer that I was delivering some building materials to, and he was building a new store. And the store he was making, I can't remember, it was either a barbecue shop or a used tire shop, because he had both of them, okay? He had one next to the other. And in addition to those businesses, he had a snowball business, okay? And the trucks that went around town. As I was making this delivery of building materials, and the gentleman's name was Mr. Pleasant. And I knew him because his children were my age and we went to St. Alphonsus together. He was an African-American man, and I remember having a conversation with him, and I was asking him about all of these business enterprises that he had begun. And he looked at me and he said, "Mike, nobody's going to ever hire me to be the boss. If I want to be the boss, I have to start my own business." And I've never forgotten that little bit of advice that he gave to me. Never forgotten it. And I know that at some point in his life, he had to come to that realization. With the education and the background that he had, nobody was going to hire him to be the boss. So if I'm going to be the boss, it's got to be my own business. And when he came to that realization, that would have been an epiphany, okay? An aha moment in his life. I mentioned this example of an epiphany last year. A person that I know smoked, and they smoked quite a bit. And they had been told a number of times by different people, including people that loved them, "You should really stop smoking." And he was always like, yeah, whatever, you know? And then one day, his pack of cigarettes is on the coffee table in his house, and his two-year-old picks up that pack of cigarettes, and he stares at that child holding those cigarettes. And he thinks how much he does not want that for him. And he realized the words of his own mother to him. And he had a what? He had an epiphany. Our lives should be marked by epiphanies about God and about ourselves and about the world around us. An epiphany is an insight or an experience that brings a realization or an enlightenment. It's the moment where we say, "Oh, I see, now I understand." The epiphany is when Jesus was manifested, that is, made known to the Gentiles. Now, a Gentile is not a Jew. A Gentile is probably a pagan. A pagan is a person that worships a false god. The Jews knew of God because of the prophets, and many of them in their own journey had their own epiphanies as they followed God. The Magi, or the wise men, or the three kings in the Christmas story represent all of the non-Jews in the world. These former pagans, they sought God. They sought God with energy. They sought God with diligence. They sought God with open hearts. And guess what? They found him. They found him. They had an epiphany. Seek Jesus with an open heart, and you will find him over and over again. In the Christmas story that we heard, or part of the Christmas story that we heard just a moment ago, there was another character, Herod. Remember Herod? Herod represents all of the people in the world that know about Jesus. They know about him. They know he was born in Bethlehem. They know he was prophesied in the scriptures. They know this about him and they know about him, but they don't know him. And in fact, they might be threatened by him. The wise men, at the end of their search, they find Jesus and they lay open their treasures before him. Those things that very easily they could have been attached to, they became detached from and laid before the Lord. Herod, on the other hand, knows about Jesus but is threatened by Jesus. Not only is he threatened by Jesus, he seeks to cut Jesus off, wants Jesus to have no influence over his life. Now, to Herod and the wise men, we add another character in the readings tonight, and that is St. Paul. In the story, the short excerpt we had from St. Paul, we hear about Paul having a revelation. A revelation. You hear the word to reveal. Something has been revealed to Paul. Now, I'm going to tell you a tiny bit about St. Paul's life. Now, many of you know St. Paul's journey and St. Paul's experience, but just a little recap. St. Paul was a Pharisee. He loved the Jewish law. He was very attached to his Jewish faith. He saw Christianity as a threat to his faith. And so he himself was personally threatened by it. St. Paul had letters in his hand to go and round up Christians, to arrest them, and in some cases, to kill them. And St. Paul is journeying from Jerusalem to Damascus. And a light shines from the sky, very bright. It blinds him and knocks him to the ground. He hears a voice, and the voice says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you, sir?" And he said, "I am Jesus." And Paul is blind there and helpless. And someone takes him by his hand and leads him to Damascus. And for 3 days, he's blind. And for 3 days, he doesn't eat and he doesn't drink. And then something like scales fall off of his eyes. And he can see. And he eats and he drinks and he asks to be baptized. Now, that's an incredible epiphany, okay? But Paul, even with the challenges that he faced, even though he was sinning, even though he was persecuting Christ, there was something inside of him that was still looking for, trying to defend that which he believed was good. And God did what with that? He worked with that. He led him in spite of himself. Now, Paul's great attachment was how he clung to his Jewishness. And we know, if you read the New Testament, how thoroughly he laid that treasure at the feet of Jesus and picked up his cross to follow our Lord. Now, why is all of this important to you? Because you all, and I included, must be on our quest. We must be making our way to Christ. And we have to realize that there are things that we may have to lay down on our journey. You know, life is all about relationships. Can you agree with me on that statement? That life ultimately is about relationships with our parents, with our siblings, with our husband, with our wife, with our children, with our neighbors, with our pastor, with the person in the pew next to us. Life is about relationships. And not some of the time, not 50%, not 75%, not 99.9%, but 100% of the time, patient people are better at relationships, okay? 100% of the time. And you know what patience is? Patience is a fruit of holiness. And our quest for Jesus is a quest for what? Holiness. Have you had that epiphany yet? See, the world wants to teach us that God is somehow an obstacle to us. This is the great lie in history. This is the greatest lie of history, that God is an obstacle to our human achievement or our happiness, and that is the very lie that Herod believed. And that is the very lie that the wise men laid down on their journey to find Jesus. In an epiphany, something is revealed, and we come to know more about God. And God is revealing himself to each one of us in different ways. What can be known about God is plain to us because God has made it plain. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. Everyone who asks receives, and to the one who seeks, they will find. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Today, we celebrate the Magi who went on their journey, also known as the three kings, the wise men. They were early scientists. They were studying the sky. They were studying creation. They were seeking something. And in seeking, they found. You know, again, I'm going to reiterate a point I made at Christmas. It's a good moment to talk about this, something affecting so many young people in the world today. And that is a false perceived conflict between science and religion. So many young people are knocked off track of their journey to God. I am concerned, we should all be concerned, that in a world with unparalleled abundance, in a country where we have so much, almost too much, it would seem at times, studies show that more and more young people are depressed, even more than just 20 years ago. Along with that, more and more young people are abandoning faith in God at a younger and younger age. Studies have demonstrated it's about 13 years old where many young people abandon their faith. I was thinking about this when I read this, and I thought, what else happens? And I know this from my experience as a priest, as a confessor, as just a human being. What else is happening when people hit adolescence? They begin to have the opportunity and the temptation to sin in more serious ways. And that, coupled with this great lie that's bombarding the world, is unfortunately knocking people off their journey. See, we're all supposed to be on this quest with the wise men, but the world is beginning to believe the lie that Herod believed. And so, my brothers and sisters, we must seek, and we must knock, and we must ask, and we must be able to show the way. You know, I was listening recently to a talk, and there was a portion of it by a guy named Rick Warren. Some of you have heard of Rick Warren. He's a Protestant minister. He's a very famous preacher. He has a very successful ministry. He was talking at a Catholic conference on the family. And during his talk on this Catholic conference on the family, he said this, and I'm going to quote him. Here he said, "In today's society, materialism is idolized, and immorality is glamorized, and truth is minimized, and sin is normalized, and divorce is rationalized, and abortion is legalized, and TV and movies, crime is legitimized, and drug use is minimized. Comedy is vulgarized, and sex is trivialized. The Bible is fictionalized, and churches are satirized. God is marginalized, and Christians are demonized. The elderly are dehumanized, and the sick are euthanized. The poor are victimized. The mentally ill are ostracized. Immigrants are stigmatized, and children are tranquilized. In families around the world, our manners are uncivilized, our speech is vulgarized, our faith is secularized, and everything is commercialized. Unfortunately, Christians, you and I, are often disorganized and demoralized, and our faith is compartmentalized and our witnesses compromise. So what do we need? We need to revitalize our worship, to minimize our differences, to mobilize our members, and to evangelize the lost. We need to re-energize our families. We must seek and knock and ask and be able to show. You know, in the popular culture, young people, this tend to see atheism as smart and the faith as a fairy tale. And a child concludes he is an atheist and thinks himself one of the smart people and puts himself or herself on the path to purposelessness. Remember the quote I gave you? Some of you remember it from Christmas Day. Bertrand Russell said that man is a product of causes which had no prevision, the end of which their achieving is nothing. His origin, his growth, his hopes, his fears, his loves, and his beliefs are but the accidental outcome of a collocation of atoms, right? Remember that? We don't believe that. But so many people are on that journey, and we have to be on the journey to God. Now, it is too simple to divide the world into atheists and believers. Atheists very often sense something more. They know there's something beyond science, beyond imagining, and they are drawn to it. And they have to reject it over and over again. And us, on the other side, we believers, we struggle with our doubts. And sometimes God may seem very distant from us. And so we too have to be on that journey, right? Making that quest, not afraid to lay down and to pick up and to go. On some level, every person senses God's reality, but apart from revelation, who can know his plan? This brings me back to the Magi, those early scientists, like great thinkers after them. They didn't separate their faith and reason, science and religion. They sought and they knocked and they asked. And you know what? It brought them to Bethlehem. Herod represents people who know about Jesus. The Magi represent the people that found him. Herod represents those who are threatened by him. The Magi lay down their attachments before him. Today, we are all called to epiphanies, right? Now, on this January the 7th, right? On this January the 7th, I have a little word for you, okay? And here it is. You're never going to lose weight unless you eat less and exercise, okay? You got that epiphany? Has that one sunk in? It's never going to happen, okay? Our lives should be full of epiphanies. Life, the most important things in life is relationships. And holiness is possible. And patience makes relationships better. Patience is a fruit of holiness. Fasting and prayer and giving are the keys to growing in holiness. You can fast and pray and give for others. You can change the world. You can change Bay St. Louis. You can change your family. You can change yourself. I pray that 2018 is a year full of epiphanies for you.